Please be seated. Won't you join me for a moment of prayer? Before the words are delivered, before the songs are sung, before the prayers are said, you are with us. In this time together now, may the words from my mouth and the presence of the divine in every and each gathered here be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the title of today's sermon, you'll notice in the bulletin, is Into the Wild with John. And it doesn't get any more wild than this passage. First century Palestine, Romans in control, Jews the occupied, a pretty stratified society, the haves and the have-nots, those who are walking that line of being close to the power brokers and yet still part of the people. And scores of folks are headed out into the wilderness, looking for a better life, hearing rumors of a Messiah, a chosen one. Rumors of a Messiah appearing in the wilderness. They're searching for a king to get them out of this present predicament, looking for a way home, searching for hope, looking for something, someone to be the carrier of that hope. And rumors abound. Did you hear? There is one crying out in the wilderness. One baptizing in the River Jordan, one who knows the old stories, the stories of our people, the stories of the prophets of Isaiah and Ezekiel, the one who looks to follow the line of kings, to speak the old words. This one eating off the land, a diet of locusts and honey, preaching the imminent appearance of God, of Yahweh. Repent. He says, for the time is near. Confess and bear fruit worthy of repentance into the wild today with John. And you know, there was not just one of these men who headed out into the wilderness then. Our discoveries at Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, found as late as 1947, confirmed to us that there were others seeking to live apart, seeking to find hope, solace, community, scared, hungry, homeless, or heading out into the wild, sure they were following the right way, the only way, full of righteous zeal, seeking answers of how to live. Into the wild they went, looking for a Messiah, a king. And at the river, he is baptizing. He is baptizing those who come, hearing their confessions of sin. We have really not a clue what any of these sins were, except this. There were 613 rules, and they were to be followed, and they were everything from do not murder, do not covet, to when to bring your gifts to the temple, and when to pray. They were the Ten Commandments. They were words and laws that provided a framework for what to do and what not to do in every aspect of life. And what a scene it must have been. Jerusalem in the background, as it shows on the front of your bulletin. Jerusalem in the background, water and wet garments. Perhaps crying and rejoicing, wandering, splashing in the water of the Jordan River. Babes in arms. The aged, the strapping, and the infirm, all were coming to be baptized. Are you the one? Was the burning question. Are you the answer? And into the scene come, we hear, many Sadducees and Pharisees, two sects of the people at this time. And without getting into a large lecture on this and the nuances or similarities and differences between these two, suffice to say they had differing views on the place of the Torah, the sacred text in the life of the people, and how the people should relate to the ruling Romans. So think fundamentalist and Protestant, or think any two denominations within our own tradition. Many sure their way was right. Perhaps many sure they were doing the best they could in the present situation. Perhaps these Sadducees and Pharisees were simply curious, perhaps seeking, perhaps hungry, perhaps angry. We can only imagine. But many of them came into the wild to be baptized by John. And John greets them with these words, "You brood of vipers." Not much into pastoral counseling or effective listening strategies was this John. John takes no prisoners here. He greets them with a demand for repentance, a demand that they not rest on the laurels of Abraham as their ancestor. He demands that they seek to bear good fruit or be thrown into the fire. Definitely, John missed the course in pastoral counseling at seminary. This is the story as we heard it this morning, a story of into the wild with John. This narrative telling us something of first century Palestine, the tensions between cultures and rulers and ruled, and the infighting amongst the people, beliefs and history and right and wrong, all told in this one story of John in the wild. Speaking of the voice crying out, looking for the path to be made straight. If you read this story without any context, political, historical, cultural, if you read this story without context and find answers for your own living without taking into account that context, then your reading does for us here and for you no good. You will simply remain in the wild with John. You will be with those who we see all over the world insisting that they are right, that their way is the only way. Speaking out of limited understanding, or in fact, ignorance, perpetuating intolerance, and putting forth the opposite of hope, these do nothing to move us forward in our time and our place in 21st century Toronto. And by God, we need to move forward toward and not away from one another. In Judaism, in the Talmud, there is always a page in the text for each student to add their own insight, their own revelation. Each student is to imagine themselves beside Moses on the Sinai and hear the revelation that comes to them. Each student must find something new to say, because Jews contend that revelation is an ongoing process. It occurs every time a student confronts the text. So, in keeping with the tradition out of which our tradition comes, here is a page for us if we imagine ourselves in the wild beside John in the Jordan. So in the wild with John, first collectively, as a church and a city, a country and a planet. God, my head hurts just thinking of all that. But it hurts less if I subscribe to and remember that we must widen our minds, our imaginations, our ethics, our beliefs to think globally, but act locally. Standing knee-deep in flowing water with John, I am hearing some of what he is saying from you. I am confirming some of what I know is true and finding the courage to live it out from you. If you have two coats, give one away, he is saying. If you are complicit in your work, in your investments, in the making of guns, the support of lousy policies or cruddy systems, divest, take a hit, work to change the place in which you work. Standing knee-deep in the waters of the Jordan, I am hearing you call out all the time, call out racism and sexism and genderism and all sorts of other things, call out hurt and harm to one another. We are all in the wild with John, collectively and personally. There is not one of us who is a paragon of virtue, although my mother might say she is. Not one of us who has not hit out in anger with words or fists. Not one of us that does not have baggage that needs unpacking or relationships that need tending. And so on that page of that student, up to our armpits in the waters of the Jordan, we would add the state of our souls. And this is where it gets dicey. And it gets amorphous, where there are few signposts and mostly paths that head off in many directions, tangled paths and smooth paths, paths of suffering and paths of joy, the paths of all of our lives. Into the wild with John. And the best, and this is the best, that this Advent season has to offer us is a story of birth. A story as old as humans have walked this planet. A story of a child born into poverty to a young woman, probably under 16, pregnant before marriage. And this story is the basis of our faith. Not a story of kings or messiahs, but a story as old as the story of human history, as vulnerable as any of all of our stories, as wild and as improbable as your and my presence on this day, in this place, on this planet, in this galaxy, in this solar system. A story of a child born in poverty, to a woman without standing, accepted by a man who was not the father. And without becoming complicit in the interpretations of this story that lead us down a life-denying path, we skip now, because we can do this. We skip to the teachings of this child all grown up, as grown up as you can be in your early 20s. Standing in the water with John, we are this morning given Jesus beyond the prophecies of John. We are given with the benefit of hindsight, with benefit of ones who know the story. We are given a pointer to someone who points us, who models the kingdom. Look at the widow. The poor widow who puts her coin, her only coin, in the box. She is the kingdom. Look at this man, this opiate addict who has turned and sees another in more desperate straits than he and gives his meal to him. He is the kingdom. Look at the Palestinian doctor who lost 3 children and his wife to rocket fire and still declares, "I shall not hate." He is the kingdom. Look at the indigenous elder who comes to speak to us despite the harm and hurt done to him in his life. He is the kingdom. Look at those who chopped and cooked yesterday to prepare a feast for all of us to enjoy today. They are the kingdom. Into the wild, personally, with John, we go. Paul Tillich, who's one of my favorite theologians, said that faith is the courage to accept acceptance. I'll say that one more time. Faith is the courage to accept acceptance. I wonder, and perhaps I would write on my page of interpretation for our day, I wonder this. What if John had set aside his anger, swallowed his suspicion of the Sadducees and the Pharisees who came to be baptized? What if he had accepted that they too were accepted, that they too came seeking, soulless, confused, tired, suffering, and wanting to be washed in the waters of the Jordan? Had John said, "Come, come, you are accepted, treasured, relished, loved, forgiven"? What if he had wrestled with his God and came out of that wrestling? He came to the conclusion that he was not the arbiter or the judge, then perhaps the teachings of Jesus we are yet to hear and yet are ever available to us. Perhaps those teachings about loving one another, about spiritual growth, about glimpses of purpose and clarity of direction, those teachings that Jesus lived out for us, perhaps our story would unfold differently. Perhaps the page of Revelation we as students are writing would make, in this season of Advent, a straighter path for the Lord, a clearer path to the one ever crying in the wilderness. Into the wild with John, standing knee-deep in the River Jordan, on my page, I would write, when John asked for my confession, I would write this: I confess, and this would be the content of that page from my present stage and place in 21st century Toronto. I confess that I do not want to follow rules or even understand doctrine or even perpetuate the church. No, my confession would be just this. I would confess all the ways I have got it wrong, all the ways my church has got it wrong. And I would ask this, that I may continue to live in a way that deepens, broadens, and widens acceptance. That sense of acceptance for myself and for all I encounter. There is trust, and there is hope, and there is the kingdom. A wild notion. And beyond John, we are still in the wild, knee-deep in the Jordan, but it is only the second Sunday of Advent. We wait in 21st century Toronto, preparing the way of the Lord, making a straight path for all to God. May it be so. Amen.